So what are the major trends that are changing the global business environment? What are the big disruptions that will create new opportunities? Jonathan Wetzel is director of the McKinsey Global Institute and co-author of No Ordinary Disruption, The Four Global Forces Breaking All the Trends. So, Jonathan, take us quickly through, at high level, what are the four trends?
Right. Well, first of all, there's urbanization, which is not a new thing. Over half the world is urbanized now, but it's the pace and scale of it. Over 65 million people joining cities every year. It's a trend that has the force of 3,000 times the Industrial Revolution in the UK, in the sense of taking maybe 15 years now to double income as you move people from farm to factory, and it's happening at the billions of people. So essentially, it's like an asteroid hitting the planet. That's the first one in terms of the impact on resources, on consumption, on competitors. The second one is demographics. We are all aging. One out of four people in advanced economies in China will be over the age of 65 by the year 2040. That's a comforting thought in some ways, is that we'll all have a lot of friends. But on the other hand, this is also somewhat worrying in the sense of the world of work is going to change pretty dramatically. And we need to rethink what's going to happen to productivity, because if we don't become a lot more productive, our whole growth rate is going to slow as the world ages. So that's the second one. The third one is technology. And I think that's most directly relevant to a lot of listeners, is that the pace of both scientific discovery as well as adoption is speeding up. It took 38 years for radio to hit 50 million users. It took 13 years for TV. It took 1 year for the internet. It took 3 months for Angry Birds. So things are definitely speeding up, and that has good and bad. The good, of course, is the rate of technological progress. The challenging part is that this is dislocating a lot of people. It's automating work, for example, and that is going to create, in turn, real social challenges in many parts of the world. Finally, the last one is globalization and connectivity. It's pretty much a one-way street, as we see cross-border flows increasing year in, year out, and those countries in those regions which are more connected, they grow faster. Maybe up to a third faster if you are part of a global trade of not only goods and services, but also capital, data, people. This is our world. And again, there's good and bad in that. We've had more Three Sigma days on Wall Street in the last 3 years than we've had in the last 30. So there's a lot more volatility in the environment as well. So all that adds up to an environment where you have to think about less about the future in terms of something that's predictable, but rather as to how does one survive the storm, or in fact just become part and get comfortable with that level of uncertainty.
One of the implications that I take away from your book is just the importance of the sources of information for decision making, that many companies are by their nature very internally focused. But watching these different things and just tracking where they go and how they might affect a company is a point that you make quite well in the book. What gets in the way of our being able to do that?
Well, a couple of things. Most companies are, first of all, very good at finding people inside the company who think a different way and then kicking them out, finding the grit in the oyster and expelling it. Because otherwise, how do we get anything done with this person who's constantly saying something else? So that's the first thing, is sort of tolerating that capacity to see the world in a different way, being externally focused, because these trends are coming from outside, not inside. I think that's one thing. Another really big thing that gets in the way is this habit of sort of continuing to, be saddled with essentially legacy structures. Typically, companies do not grow as fast as markets because they hang on to too much of the things that they used to do that are no longer as effective as what's coming up in the marketplace. So the ability to reallocate capital again across the portfolio, which is very often a non-economic thing. It's very hard to tell Joe, who's constantly delivering cash flow, to say, nope, you're not going to get that much investment this year because something else is going to require us to refocus. And that's a hard conversation. And the last point is optimism, is that people often simply have to be willing to try. They have to be willing to say, look, there's a piece of my business which I need to explore. And that word exploration, or the unknown, that's something that is often, you know, especially in more mature businesses that have quarterly earnings results pressure, saying, you know, I'm not willing to essentially be that optimistic. But the world does belong to the optimists, because they're the ones who are making things happen.